Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The brain massage show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, massaging the great matter in order to free the mind from liberal lies, allowing the light of truth to enter those chambers of the mind formerly in bondage of darkness in order to scatter and obliterate it. All right. Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march, an enemy who would steal from us our liberty. How about that Napolitano? What a gem. We can all feel safe now that we have such a sharp overseer of Homeland Security. What's that sound? A groan? No, I think it's a moan. Weeping. Is that what I hear? Don't worry. Quote, the system worked, end quote. That's what Napolitano said when questioned about the system's failure to identify and stop the Nigerian underwear bomber from boarding the Northwestern Flight 253 in Amsterdam headed to Detroit. The guy had been reported by his own parents, his father, I think, as a terrorist. He was known to have been trained by Al-Qaeda. Did you hear me? The guy was known to have been trained by Al-Qaeda. Oh, yeah. Umar Farouk Abdulmutayyab, a 23-year-old Nigerian, packed explosive into his shorts, boarded Flight 253 in Amsterdam, attempted to detonate the explosive shortly before his plane was to land in Detroit. But all he succeeded at doing was setting his shorts on fire. I'm looking at pictures of this guy's shorts. Looks like he must have had a really hot seat. Anyway, the syringe detonator was supposed to inject an acid into the explosive material called PETN, PETN, pentaerythritol tetranitrate, or something like that. Anyway, the acid was to serve as a catalyst that ignited the explosive material. Remember the shoe bomber? He used the same material and attempted to detonate it with a lighter. He had 50 grams of this material in his shoes, and a government test later showed that 50 grams of this material could blow a hole in the side of an airliner. Well, now, we all have to take off our shoes when passing through security. Uh-oh. This character packed his undershorts with this, with 80 grams of this stuff, by the way. Oh, my. This fellow's father was concerned about the fact that he knew his son was being radicalized in Yemen. So he went to the U.S. Embassy in Abuja, which is the capital of Nigeria, and he warned the U.S. ambassador that his son was being trained as a terrorist by Al-Qaeda. This happened back in November. The next day, the embassy in Nigeria warned counterterrorism officials in the United States about the tip. But the officials there apparently yawned it off, no doubt sleeping under the spell of Obama's constant downplaying of the threat of terrorism. Really, his entire administration is sleeping on this job, and that is because, well, if they get too aggressive, they're sure to receive resistance from his administration. He wants to downplay all these threats, and he attempts to make out like it's no big deal. All he seems to be worried about is the rights of the terrorists, and very negligent at securing the safety of our citizens. He is pretending this is not a war, but rather a really bad crime spree. I mean, really? Obama is a minimalist, even in this case. Now, listen up. So the counterterrorism officials failed to take any action. Abdulmutayyab had a U.S. visa, by the way, and at the very least, they should have revoked it or tagged it for special notice if he attempted to use it to enter the U.S. But really, of course, they should have put him on a no-fly list. The U.K., that's the United Kingdom, put him on a no-fly list, and they canceled his U.K. visa. Why? Because he lied on an application form. All right, so we find out the guy is enrolled in an Al-Qaeda terrorist training school in Yemen at a time when Yemen, Al-Qaeda, had been, for a couple of months leading into this, had been calling for a terrorist attack on America. They've been doing this since November. I've got a November headline from Reuters. Quote, Al-Qaeda calls for homemade bomb attacks in West, end quote. In fact, 4 months ago, the National Security Agency, quote, intercepted conversations among leaders of Al-Qaeda in Yemen discussing a plot to use a Nigerian man for a coming terrorist attack, end quote. I kid you not. So, a Nigerian father goes to the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria, shows them text messages that he received from his son, revealing that he had become a Muslim radical, and said, quote, look at the texts he's sending. He is a security threat, end quote, but they don't take him seriously. They intercept conversations about a Nigerian who was part of a plan to bomb an airline, and no one thinks, well, you know, let's see here. The Al-Qaeda are talking about a Nigerian who's going to carry out a plot to bomb an airline, and here's a Nigerian father who shows up and tells us about his son recently joining Al-Qaeda and going all radical on him. I wonder if there's a potential problem here. Well, no. We can't have the airlines start, you know, checking all Nigerians out, especially ones about whom we have been told that have been radicalized in Yemen. Well, that would be profiling. Instead, let's make sure we check out that white guy with a Bible in his bag. Better wand him. So our Nigerian radical Muslim buys a plane ticket with cash money, red flag. Has no luggage, red flag. Remember the shoe bomber, same thing. He's Nigerian, red flag, but he gets much worse than this. Guess what? A second person was detained by U.S. Customs after Umar was taken into custody. You're not hearing much about that, though, now are you? You see, a passenger of Flight 253 from Amsterdam, Kurt Haskell, testified, and by the way, others corroborated this, testified that he noticed a sharp-dressed Indian man haggling with a ticket agent to let a supposed Sudanese refugee board the plane without a passport. That caught his attention. I wonder why I missed everyone else's. It seems this Sudanese man, it turns out, is our Umar, the underwear bomber. Perhaps this is how the Sudanese refugee was able to get through the gate without having his passport scanned. Although, if only he knew, there was no block on his passport anyway. So that wasn't even necessary. But someone might have been interested in this scene, besides Kurt, hey? Kurt noticed later that this same Sudanese refugee boarded his plane and later tried to kill him and everybody on the plane. Now, Amsterdam security says that Umar bypassed, quote, normal passport boarding procedures, end quote. Well, yeah. After Umar was subdued, the passengers were deboarded and held in security. Bomb-sniffing dogs were brought in, and one of them soon brought attention to a bag held by a 30-ish-looking Indian man, not the same one Kurt saw at the ticket counter in Amsterdam earlier. This man holding the bag was taken away, apparently to be searched and interrogated. He was then handcuffed and hauled off. An FBI agent, quote, came up to the rest of the passengers and said the following, approximate, quote, you are all being moved to another area because this area is not safe. I am sure many of you saw what just happened and are smart enough to read between the lines and figure it out, end quote. Interesting. At first, officials attempted to deny that there was a second suspect in this bombing attempt. But because of pressure from eyewitnesses on the flight, they changed the story. They changed the story, and they admitted there was a second man taken into custody, but they attempted to say it was from another flight. They didn't say which other flight, by the way, and that it was unrelated to the incident on Flight 253. What's going on here? You know, wow, we've got such a stack of mess-ups, it's hard to believe. We can certainly thank God that on this Christmas Day, Allah was disappointed again. Isn't that interesting, though? No one wants to talk about the second guy with the bag, you know, that was interesting to the bomb-sniffing dogs. Why? Well, we know that Obama claims the incident was carried out by an isolated extremist. The minimalist. You can take a look at Obama's remarks posted on the internet. You know what, I think something like 3 days after the incident, he finally breaks away from his vacation to address the issue. Don't roll your eyes at me, you liberal hypocrite. All you yahoos could do is follow Bush around and point out that he was playing golf when this or that happened or whatever. And that Obama has done little else since he came on the board, so raspberry to you. You are so much fun. Anyway, he says, quote, a passenger allegedly tried to ignite an explosive device on his body, end quote. That's cute. Allegedly. The guy was caught wearing burned underwear that contained 80 grams of an explosive that could have blown the plane out of the sky. But, you know, ever the lawyer, Obama, a passenger allegedly tried to ignite an explosive anyway. This is good. He said this suspect has, quote, been charged with attempting to destroy an aircraft, end quote. Oh, my soul, this is interesting because, you know, right after that he says, quote, A full investigation has been launched into this attempted act of terrorism, end quote. All right, this is interesting. Why isn't this Nigerian charged with terrorism, an act of terrorism, right? You got to be kidding me. He's charged with attempting to destroy an aircraft. You might have mentioned terrorism in connection with that. What kind of lunacy is this? So this is Obama speak for you, though. A classic example. We're going to investigate this attempted act of terrorism. So it was, without any question, an attempt to commit an act of terrorism. And we caught the guy in bomb shorts and no doubt with charred buttocks. And then a passenger allegedly tried to ignite. And we have taken this suspect into custody and we have charged him with, are you ready for this? Attempting to destroy an aircraft. Oh, give me a break. But the greatest illustration of the Obama administration's bungling of national security is in his appointment of Napolitano to head Homeland Security and her brilliant statement that, with all that happened in this matter, quote, the system worked, end quote. Oh, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, rest assured, relax. No worries, mates. The system worked. No. As a matter of fact, as Con Carroll of Heritage Foundation put it so eloquently, the system failed. Is there anyone out there with any delusions about what would happen if a rascally Republican was in office and such a thing took place? Imagine the hand-wringing, the howling for investigations, impeachment. You know how it goes. Anyway, having said that, you know, because the hypocrisy of the left must be thrown into their faces every time it shows its grotesquely distorted features in public, and I must do my duty to the truth. My friend, are you aware that Obama ordered missile strikes on Yemen's terrorist enclaves? Here's an ABC News article. Obama ordered U.S. military strike on Yemen terrorists. No, that's interesting. You ought to see the list of reporters for ABC that are named in this article. Brian Ross, Richard Esposito, Matthew Cole, Luis Martinez, and Kirit Radia. I assume that's how you pronounce his name. Five reporters for one article that is 470 words long. Yes, I counted. Five reporters to write one article under 500 words. What is that about? What do you want to bet these guys said, hey, you know, no way am I going to go on record writing this thing all by myself. If the liberals latch onto this, they're going to start howling and screaming for our heads, you know, or they're going to start jumping all over Obama, escalating the war, and then Obama's going to be after us. We can't be calling Yemen the new Afghanistan, the new haven for al-Qaeda. And Obama ordered a missile attack on two suspected al-Qaeda sites. Ooh, liberals aren't going to like that. What will Moore do with that one? I don't know. Maybe these guys are afraid of repercussions from the White House itself. After all, if this story gets too much play, it will certainly hurt Obama with his radicalized liberal base, the Michael Moore morons. Now, I, for one, am pleased to see that Obama will take such action. In fact, it is so unlike anything else I've seen from him. Frankly, I'm suspicious. But we will reserve comment on that for later when the developments in Yemen are more fully understood. We've known for a long time, by the way, that Osama has desired to topple the government of Yemen and to make it a home base for his operations. Well, I need to take a break here. When I get back, we will talk briefly about another terrorist attack that is going on. You know, some other underwear bombers that have sneaked into the White House and Capitol building. Hold on, I'll be right back.
It seems everyone agrees that our country has lost its moral compass. We need a lighthouse to help guide us through the fog of moral confusion that has settled over our land. Lighthouse Baptist Church shines the light of God's truth, guiding families into the safe harbor of God's blessing and protection. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Come to Lighthouse Baptist Church at 1310 West Betteravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Betteravia Road in Santa Maria.
Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct. And even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Wayne Masseur, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch of Lighthouse Baptist Church, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would take from us our liberty. Well, I spent more time on the underwear bomber than I intended to, but hey, we've got a whole bunch of characters with some explosive in their underwear sitting on the Capitol building trying to detonate the bomb that will explode our constitutional protections. I'm not sure how well that analogy goes, but anyway, you've been talking about the health care bill passed by the Senate in the dead of night. What a bunch of creeps. Using Christmas Eve to plant this evil bill. Well, they haven't won yet. It has got to pass through the House again, and there's going to be some more wrangling and haggling and perhaps some more Nebraska deal-making. This is so outrageous. It's a variation on the Nazi theory that if you tell a lie big enough and repeat it long enough and enough times, it will finally be believed by most people. The Nazis today are advancing such outrageously ridiculous laws and doing such breathtakingly absurd things, we are often left speechless. But alas, my friends, fear not. For the stunning effect of this latest outrage has worn off, and I'm ready to address it. Consider how perfectly the Senate bill, indeed this entire charade being played out before our eyes by our new masters, notice how perfectly their behavior with this health bill illustrates why we must not allow them to politicize health care. Imagine your health care in their hands. Look what is happening. To begin, we reprise what we have already noted. Look at the secrecy they have used. Look at the tricks, keeping the bill from the scrutiny of those in the House and Senate who might object to certain provisions in it. And so keeping it from them, you know, making it almost impossible to find out what the fool thing says before they're required to vote on it. Now, that alone is absolutely outrageous, and I will say criminal. Somebody's got to get into that House who will force these yahoos to be honest in their dealings with the American people. I mean, we are told we would have the full text of these bills available to us. What did Obama say? 2 weeks minimum before they're voted on? Well, that has proved to be a flat-out lie. Not only are these bills being kept from us, they are even being kept from our representatives. I just don't know why you're not gathering at the Capitol Hill with pitchforks. You know, hey, Andy, I guess they're not taking your plunger rebellion seriously. Maybe it's time for the pitchforks, man. I'm insulted by this administration's willingness to sit back and let this sort of thing go on and say nothing. Why aren't our representatives, who still have a conscience left, a few of them there may be, why aren't they screaming about this at the top of their lungs? I'll tell you why. They've lost their nerve. We've sent a bunch of wimps up there. Anyway, that's one of the problems. Here's another. Not only have these wicked liars refused to allow us to see these bills before they pass them into law, they lie about what's in them. You know, which might explain why they don't want us to see them. And so you ask, well, if you haven't seen it, how do you know? Well, some of the representatives have seen the bill, and they're letting us know what's in it. You know what I mean? The one we're looking at is never the one they're voting on for some reason. We keep, you know, it's just very frustrating. So in other words, we get the copy of it, of the one after they voted on it, that's now being revised or amended and so on in the next House. So every time we try to address something, we find in the bill, the plausible deniability card can be played. Because after all, well, it's being revised. You know, it's getting very frustrating. In either version of the bill, some of the most serious issues remain unaddressed. For example, we know that rationing is impossible to avoid. I mean, like Oregon, if the government does not have the money, well, you don't get the medicine, and that's that. Okay? And perhaps more important, in either version of the bill, we know that there is a provision to withhold medical treatment if the cost-to-benefit ratio does not meet the government's criteria. And along with this provision, the bill calls for a panel of doctors, government appointees, to make these decisions that can mean life or death to certain patients. And so we call them death panels. And then some knuckle brain says, well, I searched it and I didn't find the words death panels in there. Oh, good night. I've read enough of this, of the version that I have anyway, to tell you that all of these things are in this bill. In fact, in some ways, the Senate version is even more offensive than the House version. For example, while it does eliminate the so-called public option, which is very offensive, I have a feeling it's in there only disguised. Well, the House bill had at least explicit language prohibiting federally funded abortions. But the Senate bill has weakened that prohibition very seriously. The House bill did not levy a special tax on expensive health care plans, but the Senate bill does, which is one reason Nebraska senator withheld his vote, since Nebraska has some of the largest health insurance companies in the country. And so they made a deal in the back room to get his vote. Oh, my goodness. You want these people handling your health care? You want your health care to be in the hands of these characters? Do you not see that right here, right in front of us, is the reason we must not allow these bums to politicize health care? Look at how they're handling the health bill. For heaven's sake, man. The backroom deals, the lying, the cheating, the backstabbing, politics and all of this. Do you want your health care to be in the hands of these characters? You are out of your mind. Now get a load of this. This bill mandates that every individual must purchase health care insurance. Where does the government get off telling private citizens that they have to buy a product that they might not want? or otherwise they're going to have to be enrolled in a government program, and if they don't do that, they're going to pay a fine? What is this about? Who do these fascist, dictatorial elitists think they are? And then here's another outrage. Dirty Harry Reid thinks he's what, the incarnation of King Darius? And the character thinks he can just impose upon us some kind of law of the Medes and the Persians that altereth not? Now, some of you might not know what I'm talking about. During the early years of the Persian Empire, there was this law called the Law of the Medes and the Persians that could not be changed, not even by the king who decreed it. You can read about that in Daniel 6. Reid thinks he can usurp a dictatorial control over all future senates by putting a provision in the bill that makes it impossible for any future senate to overturn certain provisions of it. Is the man just ignorant, or does he actually think that he is that powerful? What is wrong with these people? Have they gone insane with power? What have we got up there, King George Revisited? Is this a testimony to the axiom that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely? What a mess. These people are making a joke out of what our founders bequeathed to us, and it simply has to stop. Well, anyway, I need to move toward a conclusion. All right. What have I got here in my miscellaneous pile? Oh, looky here. Saul Alinsky dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to Lucifer. Oh, yeah, that's right. Saul Alinsky, Hillary's role model. One of Obama's favorites. Oh, yeah, he admits it. He talks about receiving his cues on how to initiate reform, community reform, from Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to Lucifer. Oh, yeah, the first anti-establishment radical whose rebellion won for him a kingdom. Wrong. It resulted in his demotion and loss of his kingdom to puny little man, by the way. But this does not surprise us, you know, for those who follow Lucifer are following the father of lies, which is the reason lying is their favorite way of getting anything done. Have you noticed? Have you noticed how lying more and more and more is becoming the modus operandi of our government and of mainstream media? In fact, it is the only way they have been able to advance their agenda, is by using lies. Now, what else do we have here? Oh, this is interesting. The Congressional Reform Act of 2010. Anyway, I get these things in the email every now and then, and here's what I thought was interesting, because I thought it was right on. The Congressional Reform Act of 2010, first term limits, one term maximum, 1 6-year term for Senate, and 1 4-year term for the House. I wouldn't be too unhappy if they had, a two-term limit, but some kind of limit is absolutely essential. And then no tenure, no pension. Oh, yeah, I'm for that. A congressman collects his salary while he's in office and receives no pay when they're out of office. Amen. That's exactly the way it ought to be. Here's Congress, past, present, and future, participates in Social Security. All money in the Congressional Retirement Fund moves into the Social Security system immediately. Congress participates with the American people and can purchase their own retirement plan in the same way that every other American can. These things are absolutely necessary if you're going to clean up this mess. Number four, Congress will no longer vote themselves a pay raise. Oh, yeah. Congressional pay will rise by the lower of CPI or 3%. And that's the Consumer Price Index or 3%. I wouldn't mind if that was turned around to say, no, you don't want those guys playing with inflation. This is a good idea. Number five, Congress loses their current health care system, yes, and participates in the same health care system as the American people, yes. And number six, Congress must equally abide by all laws they impose on the American people. I mean, that should be like a no-brainer. And then this, all contracts with past and present congressmen are void with the effective date of this Reform Act. The American people did not make any contracts with congressmen in Nebraska. Congressmen made those contracts with and for themselves. Oh, man, this is right on, my friend. I'll certainly vote for that. All right, what else do we have here? I need to come to a conclusion. I tell you what, let's end with a bit of humor today, shall we? You know, the Bible says, oh, Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert! A laughter doeth good like a medicine. Or actually, it says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. In any event, let me leave you merry, shall I? Here you go. A few jokes I picked up in my email pile. The liberals are asking us to give Obama time. Well, we agree. We think 25 to life would be appropriate. America needs Obamacare like Nancy Pelosi needs a Halloween mask. Okay. Have you heard about McDonald's new Obama value meal? Order anything you like, and the guy behind you has to pay for it. Question, what does Barack Obama call lunch with a convicted felon? Answer, a fundraiser. Oh, yeah. Question, what is the difference between Obama's cabinet and a penitentiary? Answer, one is filled with tax evaders, blackmailers, and threats to society. The other is for housing prisoners. Hello. Here's one I think you've heard. If Pelosi, Reid, Kerry, and Obama were on a boat in the middle of the ocean and it sank, who would be saved? America. anyway. Here's another one. What is the difference between Obama and his dog, Bo? Well, Bo has papers. Where's your birth certificate, sir? Well, my dear friends, I have lit the lights in the Belfry Arch that signal the enemies on the march. Get these shows into all the hands you can. Check in, my fellow revers. Call in and let me know that you see the lights are on. The number to call is 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And you can say lights on if you agree, and we'll commit to spread the word. And if you disagree, well, it's easy to register your thumbs down vote. Just call in and say lights off. And you may leave as long a message as you like. Also, you can reach me by email. Go to our website. And that address is santamarialighthouse.org. Again, Santa Maria Lighthouse, all one word, lowercase, you know the drill, .org. And on that page, you can fish around and see some interesting things and download various shows that are available and all kinds of good stuff. So we've recently started podcasting the shows, and we have a link to our podcast site. And in that place, all of the last, I don't know, 40-some-odd shows are available to you. And we eventually will have them, you know, categorized and indexed and stuff like that. But we're getting there. In any event, go to santamarialighthouse.org and fish around and have some fun. Or call me at 1-888-770-8000. Lights on if you agree. Lights off if you disagree. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
You love it or you hate it. Either way, the Brain Masseur is going to make you think. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. if you dare.
It seems everyone agrees that our country has lost its moral compass. We need a lighthouse to help guide us through the fog of moral confusion that has settled over our land. Lighthouse Baptist Church shines the light of God's truth, guiding families into the safe harbor of God's blessing and protection. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Come to Lighthouse Baptist Church at 1310 West Betterview Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Betterview Road in Santa Maria.
Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional stable two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope in their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity. And yet, it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Betteravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.